Good afternoon, everyone. So I have a question for you this afternoon. My question is this: are you ready? Are you ready? How many? No, I'm not talking about the wedding. How many of you know what Hank Williams Jr. sings before every Monday night football game? Are you ready for
football.
Some football, right? So tomorrow we have the NFC and AFC championship games. Eagles, Cardinals, Steelers, Ravens. 2 weeks we'll have the Super Bowl. So everybody's getting ready for some football. Well, I have a confession to make to you. Even though I live here in the Seattle area, I've been a lifelong Green Bay Packers fan. I even actually had the opportunity to go to a couple of Packer games up at Lambeau Field. It was very difficult to get in, very expensive tickets. And I was told a story once of a guy who wanted to go to a Packer game. Big Packer fan, went up to Lambeau Field, drove all the way there, didn't have a ticket, but he figured he could find a ticket, scalp a ticket. So right before the game, he finally finds someone who's selling one ticket, and he buys that ticket, $300. But hey, he had his ticket, he was going to the Lambeau, into Lambeau, watch those Packers. So he gets into the stadium, looks for a seat, goes up, he's at the top row of the stadium, corner of the end zone, he's up closer to the blimp than he is to the field. But hey, he's in the Packer game, he's happy. So he gets out his binoculars, he's watching the game, he's looking around, and he notices the stadium is packed, not an open seat, except one. Down on the 50-yard line, about five rows up, there's an open seat right on the aisle. So he decides, wow, somebody actually is coming late to a Packer game, that's amazing. So it gets past the first quarter, the seat is still open. He's thinking, I think that person may not have come. So he decides he's going to make his way all the way down there. He sneaks past all the security guards, winds his way all the way down to that seat, and then gets down there. The seat's still open. He asks the guy next to it, is this seat taken? And the guy says, no, it's not. Go. And he said, do you mind if I sit down? He said, sure, go ahead. He sits down. And he's thinking, this is great. He's this far away from everybody in the football game. He's watching the football game. He's really excited. And he turns to the guy and he says, I can't believe this. There's an open seat. Beautiful open seat right here on the 50-yard line. And the guy said, well, actually, it's my seat. Well, actually, it's my wife's seat. In fact, this is the first game in 40 years of marriage that we've ever missed a Packer game together. You see, my wife recently passed away. And the guy said, oh, hey, buddy, I am so sorry. Do you want me to get up and move? He's like, no, you stay there. I'm just glad somebody could use the seat. He's like, oh, well, okay, well, thanks. And so he's sitting there and he's thinking about it and he said, but I don't get it. Couldn't you have given away the ticket to a friend or a relative for the game? And he said, well, I tried to, but they're all at the funeral. Okay, I know. Takes a little bit to sink in. Packer mania at its worst, right? So I again ask you the question, are you ready? But I'm not asking the question about football. I'm just asking you the question, are you ready? I'm not ready. I wasn't ready. I'm not sure I'll ever truly be ready. Ready for what? Ready to die. Ooh, I wasn't expecting you to say that. I thought we were going to talk about football and the Super Bowl and that kind of thing. A lot of times we don't really talk about death. We don't talk about dying. Even the topic, sometimes just even being brought up, kind of makes your skin crawl, doesn't it? Think about dying. And we think about death usually only when we're forced to think about it. So we don't usually think about the death of me. We usually think about the death of other people. So we think about, well, I'm not going to really die. I mean, yeah, I'll eventually die, but yeah, I know we'll all die, but you know, that's out there. That's like way out there, way, way, way out there. Other people die. I'm not going to die. Or we start thinking about it. Maybe something happens that causes us to think about death. Maybe there's a death of a friend or a family member, or the death of a loved one. But we don't usually think about the death of me. But then maybe something happens. Maybe it's an accident. Maybe it's a sudden illness. You've probably heard the phrase before, I saw my life flash before my eyes. when somebody has a near-death experience. So sometimes a better way to describe it, and the way I like describing it, is the phrase, this could be it. This could be it. Where we stand at the brink, staring at the possibility of death. Maybe it's for a split second as our car spins out of control. Or maybe it's for minutes as we hang on for dear life. Or maybe it's even hours or days as an illness suddenly grows worse. And then we think, this could be it. I might die. And for the first time in your life, the possibility of death is real. How many people here have had that thought where you've actually thought, this could be it? Quite a few. Scary, isn't it? Because you don't think about it in advance until it actually happens. I had that thought, this could be it, for the first time in my life about 12 years ago. I had just come back from a 3.5-week trip to India, and I was back in the office only one day, and I was at the office, and I started having chest pains. I've had chest pains before, and I've had indigestion before, but this was different. It felt different. And it started getting stronger. I took some aspirin. It wasn't going away, so I decided I was going to just go home and lay down, and it would go away. So I told the receptionist I was going to leave early that afternoon. I was going to go home and lay down. I thought maybe it's just the after effects of my trip to India, and I was just going to go get some rest. And she looked at me, and she said, Brian, you don't look very good. Why don't you go to the hospital and get it checked out? And I thought, nah, I'm young. I'm fine. I'll be fine. I just need to go home and lay down. I'll be fine. So on my way home, I stopped at the drugstore to pick up the pictures from our trip to India. And while I was waiting there in line, the pain kept getting stronger in my chest. And at one point, I actually thought I would collapse right there in the drugstore. And I thought, you know what? I think I'd better get this checked out. I still didn't know what was going on, but I thought, I better get it checked out. So I drove myself to the local community hospital. And I'll give you a hint. If you ever don't want to have to wait to get checked in at a community hospital or any hospital, just tell them you have chest pains. They will not want to see your insurance card, and they will put you very quickly to the top of their priority list. So they very quickly got me in. They got me plugged in and needles inserted, wires attached. They started running tests. Doctors started coming in, scurrying back and forth. Wasn't sure what happened, called Chris, called the family. They were on their way there. I wasn't quite sure what was going on, but I knew it was something important. And then all of a sudden they announced, we have to move you to Columbia Hospital for more tests. Okay. Columbia Hospital was one of the bigger surgical hospitals there in Milwaukee. So very quickly they came in, got me into the ambulance, loaded me up, and all of a sudden they peel out. They're driving, I'm not kidding, 90 miles an hour down this country road that's 50 miles an hour, siren blaring, lights flashing, and I'm thinking, and I told the nurse that was in the back of the ambulance, I said, hey, slow down, you don't have to go so fast. We're just going to Columbia Hospital for some tests. You don't have to go so fast. And I still remember what she did. She was in the back, just sitting down next to me. I'm on a gurney. She takes my hand, and she just starts gently stroking my hand. And she said to me, we're going fast, because we can go fast, which I thought was kind of fun, and we're going fast because we have to go fast. We're taking you to Columbia Hospital for emergency heart surgery. You're having a heart attack. Oh, and I thought, okay, well, if I wasn't having a heart attack up to that point, you telling me that I'm having a heart attack, I'm now having a heart attack. And usually we think about a heart attack, what do we think? We think, oh. Right? And we think that's what a heart attack is, and you fall down, and you know, in a lot of heart attacks, that is actually it. That's what happens. In about one-third of the cases, that's what actually takes place. People die with heart attacks. But a heart attack is actually the block of blood supply through one of the coronary arteries to the heart. And it can, it's the medical term is myocardial infarction, and you can talk to Lawrence Merritt after, he can give you all the insights. But what happened to me was I had restriction of blood supply to my heart. My heart was dying. and it was causing damage to the heart, if it keeps on going, it can lead to cardiac arrest or even to death. And so all of a sudden, I'm laying there in the back of this ambulance, and that's when I had this thought. This could be it. I'm in this ambulance. It's easily a 15-minute drive to the other hospital. This could be it. I might actually die. And I was thinking, I might not make it to the hospital. And you think you're young and virulent, I'm in great shape, great physical shape. I'm not going to die. But then now it's like, this could be it. This could be it. And I was thinking, I can't die. I'm too young to die. I'm too healthy. I've got 3 kids, a wife. I want to grow up and I want to watch my kids grow up and get married, right? I can't die. I'm not ready. And it's times like that. What do? You instantly go to prayer. And she kept talking to me and telling me what was going on. I didn't hear anything she was saying because I was communicating this way, not this way. And I was talking to God and saying, get me through this. I don't know if I can get through this. I need your help. And finally, they pulled into the hospital, and I breathed a sigh of relief. We made it. I'm there. Everything's going to be okay, right? And then as they pulled in, they brought me in on the gurney. They got me hooked up, all these doctors, nurses gathering around me, prepping me for surgery. Chrissy wasn't there yet, and they gave me this form to sign, a release form for surgery. And I'm reading it, and it has the side effects of the surgery and all the normal common side effects and death. I'm like, death? Death is a pretty bad side effect, wouldn't you say, doc? And the cardiologist was right there, and I said, so what are the odds of death in this surgery? Is it what, like 1 in 1 million, 1 in 100,000? And he said, no, it's about 1 in 200. 1 in 200, that's not very good odds. And he said, well, if you don't have the surgery, it's about 1 out of 10. I said, okay, let's do the surgery. And so again, thoughts all come flooding back. This could be it. You know, they may take me in for surgery and that may be it. I may not come out of surgery. And so again, lots more prayer, right? In the end, the prayers were answered. The surgery was successful and now I'm fine. I have a rare heart condition. It's called coronary vasospasm, which I wasn't aware of, that caused my coronary artery to spasm shut. In the end, I had about 10% heart damage. I made it through that day, but I sincerely really don't want to go through that again because I wasn't ready then, and I will say that I can't say that I'm really ready now. But I did learn 2 very important points from that experience, and I'd like to share those points with you. Point number 1, death is always a possibility. Point number 1, death is always a possibility. It's really easy to think about death as something that happens to someone else, especially when you're young. As a teenager, you often think you're invincible. And even as you go into your young adult years, it's easy to live your life with reckless abandon, putting things off until tomorrow because, hey, I've got plenty of time. And then something happens. Maybe it's a car crash, or maybe it's a sudden illness, or just a freak accident. And the prospect of death is actually staring us in the face. Death is always a possibility. We're mortal. We're made of flesh. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, verses 11 and 12, it talks about the possibility of death in our lives. Book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. For man does not know his time, like fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare. So the sons of men are snared in an evil time, when it falls suddenly upon them. Think about that time in your life when a split second, one way or another, may have meant the difference between life and death. How many of us have almost pulled out in front of an oncoming car? Or worse yet, how many of us have been in a car crash where the matter of a split second, the matter of feet or maybe even inches, was the only difference between living and dying? Time and chance happens to us all. I had a rare medical condition I didn't even know I had. Yet if I'd gone home to rest and just laid down and let it pass, I might not be here speaking to you today. And even with that surgery, one out of 200, you might say, hey, that's pretty good odds. For me, it was. For 198 other people, it was. For one person, it was a funeral. For that person, the odds were 100%. Sometimes we think we can just simply put things off. Hey, I've got plenty of time. I can always come back to God later. I knew of two different teens that had that type of an attitude. One of them was in a car crash, and he changed his life. He changed it around and came back. The other one just simply, over time, drifted further and further away from God, and now God's no longer a part of his life. And then there was a brother of a good friend of mine at 18 years old, died in a car crash. So time and chance does happen to all of us. We think we're young, we're going to live forever, but the reality is that death is a possibility for everyone. You just simply never know when you're going to have the "this could be it" moment. And as I came to realize that this could be it, I came to the second realization, and this is my second point. Point number two, love God and love your neighbor. Point number two, love God and love your neighbor. Loving relationships are the key. Our relationship to God, our relationships to others. Loving God and loving our neighbor. Sometimes it takes critical events in our lives to help us focus on what's really important, to see what really truly has value, to once again go back to the fundamentals. Mr. Luker spoke about these points last week in his sermon. Did we write them down and think, yes, that's important, yes, that's good? But did we really take them to heart? Or do we need a wake-up call to fully grasp the impact of that message? Jesus Christ, when asked what the great commandment was, gave this response. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 through 40. Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 through 40. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Did you hear that? On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Everything in your Bible hangs on those two commandments. Spiritually, we all need to draw closer to God. We need to keep the communication lines open. We need to reach out to God in prayer. Yes, it's important on our knees in a regular fashion, but it's important to understand that we can open up those communication lines whenever we need God. It might be right before taking a test. It could be driving down the highway. It could be laying flat on your back on a gurney in an ambulance. The communication lines are always open. God's there, always ready to communicate. So we need to love God, to draw near to him. And he's always there to communicate with us. And emotionally and physically, draw near to others. Draw near to your loved ones. Tell them you love them every chance you get. A touch, a squeeze, a hug, a smile. They all mean a lot, and you never know if it will be your last or their last. Live each day as if it's your first, and live each day as if it's your last. I like another quote. It says, "Remember, no one ever said on their deathbed, 'I wish I would have spent more time in the office.'" I think sometimes we need to remember those type of things. Commit yourself to loving relationships with God and with others. So in summary, my two points are, point number one, death is always a possibility, and point number two, love God and love your neighbor. Okay, so now I want you to do something. Take your pen back out and cross through that first point, point number one. Because in reality, my second point is my only point. It just took me point number one to really fully grasp the importance of point number two. So don't wait to fully understand and grasp point number one to act upon point number two. Love God and love your neighbor. The summary of the law of love. Live it in your life.